It doesn't matter which Easter story you read in the four Gospels. You will recognize one thing is that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John had one thing to say, and very clearly so, that Jesus indeed has risen. In the passage we just read just now, a group of women came looking for Jesus on Easter Sunday, but instead they found an empty tomb. One of the things about Jesus, if you keep, you know, reading the account, is that Jesus frequently did, after the resurrection, he would choose to appear to different groups of people, greeting them with these words, "Peace be with you." And before we look further at this passage, we are going to give thanks to God for something that we are going to observe. A couple of our kids are going to share with us a liturgical dance. An explanation of the dance is in the bulletin. May this dance continue to bring out the resurrection and also the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you have an opportunity to read part of the description for the dance. But there's hope for everyone, because Jesus knows exactly how you feel when he was nailed on the cross, and yet he was without sin. On the third day, he rose from the dead and was reconciled with God, paving the way for us to follow him. When Jesus rose from the dead on the third day, Jesus did something from time to time. He appeared to different groups of people, telling them that peace is with them. But before we look further into our passage for the day, I'd like to introduce to you another passage from Luke chapter 24, verse 36. It is one of those times when Jesus appeared to the disciples, to the followers again. And this time he was appearing first to the people, to the disciples meeting in a very small room. And as they were talking about all the events that surround crucifixion, and how Jesus was not to be seen in the tomb. As they were talking about this, this is what Luke chapter 24, verse 36 says. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." So Jesus has a habit of appearing to the believers, giving them and bringing them peace from God. And if you put another passage from John's Gospel together, you will find that John tells us that the disciples had gone underground. They were in hiding because they were terrified of the religious leaders. Those religious leaders would come and get them the way they did to Jesus. So they were hiding from them. And then in John chapter 20, verse 19, John also tells us one very interesting but small piece of information. That is, the room that they were hiding had doors, and the doors were shut or locked tight. Now, why is this piece of information important? Because it explains what happens in Luke chapter 24, the following verse. They, that is the disciples, when they saw Jesus standing among them, this is their reaction. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. Why did they think they saw a ghost? Remember that the rooms from John chapter 20 had doors, and the doors were shut tightly for security reason. There was only one way into this room and through the doors. And all of a sudden, Jesus appeared in the room. The problem is that Jesus did not come through the doors. He just appeared. And the disciples were smart enough to figure out that, you know, ordinary people, human beings, don't just appear through shut doors and windows and walls like this. So all of a sudden, they were not afraid of the religious leaders. They'd forgotten about the religious leaders at that moment. That now they are even more afraid of this person or whatever it is standing in front of them. And the only conclusion in their minds is that it has to be a spirit. Jesus knew they were doubtful and terrified. So he said to them, "Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." And when Jesus had said that, he also showed them his hands and his feet. Jesus was trying to reassure his disciples that they were not seeing a spirit at all. So he asked them to touch them. Still not believing, he showed the disciples the nail prints and scars from 3 days ago. The point that Jesus was trying to make by doing all this is that, you know, not only did Jesus have a real body, but this is Jesus and his body. It is the same body as 3 days ago. You can still see the scars. You can still see the blood. You can still see the wounds. But somehow, this body is somewhat different from the one they saw 3 days ago. The body that Jesus had now is a glorified body, a transformed body, in such a way that it can go through shut doors and thick walls and buildings. We know that that is the way that Jesus operated after the resurrection. For instance, in other passages, this new body of Jesus can appear and disappear at will. John chapter 20. It could levitate and fly through air. That's how Jesus left the world in Acts chapter 1. It is also a body that shines with the brightness or the brilliance of the sun in Revelation chapter 1. The body that Jesus has after the resurrection was his body, the same body, but not quite exactly the same body, not the restored earthly body like he had had before he was crucified. It's a body that has been glorified, a body that has been transformed and transfigured by God. And that is what Philippians 3 calls it, a glorified body. The same body, but somewhat different. Now, going back to our text for today, when Mary Magdalene was there looking for Jesus, she became distraught when she couldn't find his body. And then she heard someone talk to him. And then she thought it was a gardener. And she said, you know, if you would please tell me where you have taken him away, tell me, I would go and fetch him myself. Here is Jesus appearing to her, but she doesn't know it. Face to face with Jesus, but she couldn't recognize him. Isn't that a little bit strange for Mary Magdalene? A person who had followed Jesus for quite some time, served with Jesus, and knew Jesus pretty well. Some Bible teachers said that the reason why Mary Magdalene was not able to recognize Jesus at that very instant was because she had tears in her eyes, you know, so she couldn't see it very clearly. Other people said that, you know, it probably is because, you know, of the hairs in her eyes as a result of crying. And other people said that, you know, it was because Mary did not have enough faith in Jesus. So therefore, she couldn't recognize Jesus. But I think Mark has a better explanation. If you turn to the resurrection account in Mark chapter 16, you would find that Mark says it very specifically. After Jesus appeared in a different form to two disciples. The Greek text in Mark chapter 16, it says that Jesus appeared in a different former body. It's still the same body, but somewhat different. The reason why Jesus was so difficult to recognize by Mary Magdalene was because he now has a glorified body. He had another form. His body is now supernatural. And partly for that reason, back to verse 17, Jesus says to Mary Magdalene, do not hold on to me, do not cling on to me, for I have yet to go back to my Father, your Father, my God, your God. Already Jesus was trying to tell Mary that I'm still the same Jesus, but my body is a little bit different. I have resurrected. And today, we want to take a look at this new body of Jesus and the new body that Jesus is going to give us. What kind of body will God be giving us? First of all, the good news. The good news is this: if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, after you died, you are going to receive a brand new body. And this is what 1 John chapter 3 tells us. How great is the love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called children of God. And later on in verse 2, he said, and now that we are children of God, we know that Jesus will appear. And what will Jesus do when he appears? We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We shall be changed to become like Jesus. It means that our body is going to be like Jesus' body also. And Philippians chapter 3 says amen to that. It says that, you know, for people who know Jesus, our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when Jesus sees us face to face, he's going to transform your lowly bodies, my lowly bodies, so that they will be like his glorious body. So here the Bible in different places are telling us that when we die, for those who believe in the Lord Jesus, we are going to be receiving a brand new, a glorious body. Better than reconditioning, better than refurbishing and restoration. God will give to us a brand new, perfect, glorious body. And you're going to be very happy about your new body. It is part of the good news that Jesus has to offer to us. Not only life eternal, not only dwellings in his kingdom, not only face-to-face with God and eternal worship and adoration, but doing all that with a brand new body. What's so special about this body, and what difference does it make to our everyday life? If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you find that there are different things about this brand new body that believers of Christ will be receiving. In verse 50, it tells us that the body we're going to be getting from God is a different body, no longer the same body. Let us read this together. There are also heavenly body and there are earthly bodies, but the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind. and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. Paul tells us very clearly that, you know, there are going to be two different types of body. One is earthly, the other one is heavenly. The one that is heavenly is going to be majestic, glorious, sinless. New bodies are designed for new heavens. And because the followers of Jesus will end up in heaven with him, therefore God has prepared for us brand new bodies for heaven. We are going to be leaving our earthly bodies behind. They are no longer any good. So 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50 tells us that you and I in Jesus Christ are going to be receiving a different body. Just like the body before and after resurrection for Jesus is somewhat different. When we get to heaven, our body is going to be different. Now, not only is the body going to be different, but it is also going to be imperishable. Verse 42. Let's read together. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is imperishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown, put in the grave. What is sown, what is put in the grave is perishable, but however, it will become imperishable. It is sown, it is put in the grave in dishonor, but it is raised in glory. It is sown, put in the grave in weakness, but it is going to be raised with full power. Our earthly bodies are perishable. It grows old. It gets weak. It gets damaged. But the brand new body that God is going to give to us is going to be glorious and imperishable. Whatever defects that you may see now, you are not going to be experiencing that. Do you know what it's going to be like in heaven as far as this area is concerned? In heavens, I like how someone put it, there are no walkers, no wheelchairs, no crutches, no hearing aids, no dialysis. I added part of that myself. No calcium supplement, no chemotherapy, no radiation, no surgery. Some people would say that there isn't even Tylenol or aspirin, if you're partial to that, in heaven. And you know that in heaven there are no handicapped parking spaces. Why? Because there are no handicapped bodies whatsoever. And that is part of the good news for us in Christ. God is going to give each and every one of us a different but also an imperishable body. And third, the body that you and I are going to be getting in heaven is not just going to be different and imperishable, it's going to be a spiritual body as well. 44. It is sown put in the grave a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. By spiritual body, the Bible says that we are going to be embodying a sinless body, a sinless body. You know what that means? It means that your body will want to do right each and every time. It gets a tremendous satisfaction from obeying God and cooperating with him. It means that every time when God asks you to think about something or do something, your body won't fight back. It means that, you know, saying no to God or God, let me think about it, those words are not going to be in our vocabulary at all. And what Paul says that, you know, I keep on doing those kind of things that I do not want to do or I shouldn't be doing. But the things that I ought to be doing as a Christian, that I do not do. That kind of things would be a thing of the past. So this is what the spiritual body is going to be doing for us. It would make us joyful, make us fulfill each and every time when we obey God. And finally, not only are we going to get a body that is different, imperishable, spiritual, it is also going to be the kind of body that we need to live in heaven. Verse 50. Here Paul says, I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood, the kind of body that you and I got now, cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor can it nor can the perishable, the body that you and I have now, inherit the imperishable. You and I cannot go to heaven with the kind of body we have. If you want to go to heaven, you need a brand new body, the right kind of body. And Jesus is able to give us that kind of body. So how do we get hold of that kind of body? Well, remember earlier on in 1 John chapter 1 and Philippians 3, it talks about Jesus, when we see him face to face, would transform our lowly bodies into his glorious body. God gives this kind of bodies to everyone who is his children. The creation, the whole world is God's creation, but only a small part of that creation are the people of God. And how do you become people of God? By turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verse 12 says that this is how you can become a child of God. This is how what makes us qualified to receive a brand new body from Christ. To all who receive him, Jesus Christ, to those who believe in his name, to that very person, God gave the right, the authority, the privilege to become children of God. Children born not out of natural descent, but born of God, that is, born spiritually of God. This is how you became a child of God. This is how you joined the family of God, by faith in Jesus Christ. So when you receive Jesus, God adopts you into his family and makes you a child, a spiritual member of his family. And as a spiritual member of God's family, you are going to inherit a brand new, a different, an imperishable, a spiritual body one day. You want to become a child of God? It is easy. Just turn away from everything else and turn to the Lord Jesus. Confess that you are a sinner and acknowledge that he's the Lord and Savior of your life. And the Bible says, when you do that, he's going to give you the authority, the right, and the privilege to become a child of God. Maybe you're here today and you're not sure about your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see that, about 11 or so people joined the church today. Each and every one of them has something preciously in common. They all know who Jesus is. They all have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. They all have Jesus in their hearts and in their lives. They are children of God. Some of them, may have been struggling with that for some time, but at some point in time, they make a decision to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And at that moment in time, they became children of God. You can become a child of God in exactly the same way, by saying no to everything else and yes to the Lord Jesus. And in that way, you become a child of God. And if you're not quite sure what to do, and I hope that you will, after the worship service, ask someone who is a Christian and ask that person to show you how to become a child of God. And you'll be guaranteed, following Jesus, a brand new body in the future. Now, for those of us who are already believers, what difference does this brand new body make? I hope that it tells us something, about the special plan that God has for us in the future. It is better than whatever thing we can think of. Some of the blessings that God has in store for us in the future includes a brand new spiritual body, a body worthy of the heavens of God. And I hope that would give you something to look forward to. There may be something bugging you today, but rest assured, God says that one of these days in the future, everything is going to be perfect. Everything is going to be glorious, including your body, including your emotions, including your frustrations, because Jesus himself personally guarantees it. So when Mary Magdalene, finally recognized Jesus, all of a sudden, she couldn't hold herself back. And she wanted to, hug Jesus and cling on to him. But Jesus says, just a little while longer, Mary. This is not quite the time. Not that Jesus was offended, but Jesus wanted to remind her that, let me first go back to my father and know what he said, and your father, my God and your God. God has given Jesus, after resurrection, a glorious body, and he's going to give all of us, followers of Jesus, a glorified and a brand new body. What he did for his son, he will also do for all those who turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is something for us believers to be joyful about. We thank God that there is part two, the grand finale, in store for us in heaven. And may we leave this place saying to God, hallelujah, Jesus has risen. But I know that, you know, there's something special coming. Among those things is a brand new body that you have promised to me. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for giving us this hope of the resurrection and also power over death. But also we give you thanks, O Lord, for the brand new spiritual body that you are going to give us. And we pray, O Lord, that all of us here will be receiving such a body because we have turned our lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there's any one of us here who is still doubtful or hesitant, Father, we pray that you would help him or her come to the point of decision so that they can be fully assured of life eternal and brand new blessings in Christ. We pray not just for ourselves, but also for our loved ones, that if they do not yet know Jesus Christ, encourage them to come so that, Lord, they may also confess Jesus as their personal Savior and Master. This we pray in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.